Let us pray. Dear Lord, it is my hope that my words and the listening of them will be of some significance to all of us here today. Amen. In the recent months here in Old South Haven, we have celebrated Tom's ordination. We learned a number of things about Tom's life, and one of the ways we expressed our newfound knowledge was through song, particularly in our choir's rendition of Dear Tom, Pastor Tom. I really like doing that. Done to the tune of My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean. We learned that his mother was a school teacher and his father did fine floral art. I like that because when I was in high school, I worked for the florist Dan Backhoffen, and I liked that time. He was a good man. We also learned that he read theology great Reinhold Niebuhr. Now, a great deal of the reading I do is in theology, and I have a few books of Niebuhr's writings. So lately, I've been reading some of his writings. Tom, since that time, has given sermons using hymns for his musings on history and theology, putting the hymns in the historical context and illuminating on the scriptural background and meaning. What I would like to do this morning is to take these shared experiences and kind of keep that train of thought going. So in my reading, Reinhold Niebuhr, in his writings, placed great emphasis on justice and love. He speaks of justice as in a, quote, approximation of brotherhood under conditions of sin. He has referred to justice as the plumbing between the ground and the superstructure, love. He says, for genuine love does not propose abstract schemes of justice that leave the human factor out of the account. Justice, or the lack of justice, happens in relationship. It is not an ethereal notion, an abstract concept of contemplation, but that which is worked out in human relations, whether they are personal, in community, between or among nations. The, quote, regulatory principle that Niebuhr speaks of, the regulatory principle of justice, according to Niebuhr, is equality. Justice issues are manifest in competing self-interests among people and groups of people. In a symposium on Christianity and politics, Niebuhr writes, an eager young participant stated, a Christian always considers the common welfare before his own interest. The reality is that no person, Christian or not, is able to always consider the common interest before his own. The truth is that when considering the common good, we can only consider it through our own perspective, shaded with our own self-interest and ambition. If we are able to recognize our own self-interest and distinguish it from the interest of others, then the work of justice and the balancing of power can proceed with integrity. Niebuhr writes, the effort to substitute the law of love for the spirit of justice, instead of recognizing love as the fulfillment and highest form of the spirit of justice, is derived from the failure to measure the power and persistence of self-interest. It is because self-interest is not easily overcome in even the life of the redeemed that most of the harmonies of life are not the perfect harmonies of fully coordinated wills, but the tolerable harmonies of balanced interests and mutually recognized claims. This very human struggle for justice in our time and throughout history are chronicled in the arts, which brings me to poetry and song, especially the songs of the people. As a child, my parents saw to it that I was nurtured in the Roman Catholic Church. The time was the 1950s and early 1960s, when the Mass was in Latin. There was no music but the chanting of Latin words. As I grew and of my own volition withdrew from participating in the life of the Roman Catholic Church, my concerns in life were directed to the world around me, and in particularly to the visual arts and music. Music for me was a sanctuary where I found shelter from the storms of life. My relationship with music at this time of my life was that of a listener. My high school art teacher, Mr. Kranz, lived in Greenwich Village. And he would take some of his students, which included me, I was sort of the school artist, to the village to visit galleries and cafes. This is the early 60s. I discovered the folk revival music. I had been acquainted with it somewhat already. And it was very prevalent in the village at the time. I discovered the music and lyric of, at the time, an aspiring new artist, Bob Dylan, and the music of Joan Baez. I absorbed myself into this new endeavor of folk music. It is here where the songs awaken to me the struggles for justice in this world, beyond my own experience, giving me a context for my own perceived experiences of injustice. So it is in the harmonies and melodies and lyric of song that we can listen for and hear the struggles for the justice in the human situation. So let us listen to some of the lyrics of the people's songs of folk music. In the black spirituals, with their hollers in response, we hear songs such as "No More Auction Block for Me," with verses like "No More Driver's Lash for Me," in response to slavery. "Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me, and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free." These are the chants of people struggling against the oppression of the powers that be, at the time the Jim Crow system. "This train is bound for glory" is an American gospel song first recorded by Sister Rosetta Tharpe in the 1930s, and additional verses were added by Big Bill Brunsey in the 1940s. "This train don't care if you're white or black on this train," were his added verses, reflecting changing realities in the social norm. The evolution of lyric in folk music is what makes it folk music. "Which Side Are You On" is a song written by Florence Reese in 1931, to the tune of a Baptist hymn called "Lay the Lily Low," which came from a traditional English ballad, "Jack Monroe." Florence Reese was the wife of Sam Reese, a union organizer for the United Workers in Harlan County, Kentucky. In 1931, the miners of that region were locked in a bitter and violent struggle with mine owners called the Harlan County War. In an attempt to intimidate the Reese family, Sheriff J.H. Blair and his men, hired by the mining company, illegally entered their home in search of Sam Reese. Sam Reese had fled earlier. That night, after the men had gone, Florence wrote the lyrics to "Which Side Are You On?" It is a poignant question for one with no power to the powers that be. The human struggle in the workforce for an equitable balance of power strives on. "Strange Fruit," written by Lewis Allen and recorded by Billie Holiday, with the lyrics, "Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root, black bodies swinging in the southern breeze," speaks poetic power with vivid imagery to the injustices done to the black person at that time in our national history. How many times must a man turn his head, pretending he just doesn't see? The answer? When the bankers say he's broke, and the merchants go up in smoke, they forget that it's the farmer feeds them all. It would put them to the test if the farmer took a rest. Then they'd know that it is the farmer who feeds them all. Lyrics from The Farmer is the Man, a popular song with Midwestern farmers in the 1880s, in the days of the Farmer Alliance and the founding of the Grange Movement. The Farmer Alliance and Grange Movement were organized to benefit farmers with technical and economic support, the fight for justice, the work of justice. Well, you wake up in the morning and you hear the ding-dong ring. Go marching to the table, see the same damn thing. Knife and fork upon the table and an empty pan. Say anything about it, you're in trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. Let the midnight special shine its light on me. The Midnight Special is a song that was first sung by Huddy William Leadbetter, also known as Leadbelly. He's also the originator of the song Irene Goodnight. He spent 7 years in prison before being pardoned by Governor Pat Morris Neff of Texas. It is thought that he learned the song while in prison. He experienced that which is expressed in the lyric. He dreamed of that train, that midnight special with its light shining on that new path. This train is bound for glory. Last night I had the strangest dream I ever dreamed before. I dreamed the world had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room filled with women and men, and the paper they were signing said they'd never fight again. Ed McCurdy. Hope for the future and the struggle for a just and peaceful world. This is the work of justice expressed in song. I could go on with many more lyrics that depict the human condition and the very human struggles for justice in the world. I would dare say there are as many songs as there are people to sing them, dealing with life's travails. But let us remember, as we pursue the work of justice in question, this question. Why do you seek the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, when the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. I will close by reciting a song and that you and I are very familiar with, and it is only recently that I saw it as a song concerning the work of justice. Remember, it is a song. It is sung by a young pregnant girl of the peasant class, one of the most powerless. It is from the Gospel according to Luke. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. So be it.